Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And good morning. This hour, we are debating for the clerk of criminal district court in New Orleans. However, only one of the two candidates in the runoff has chosen to participate. So we will conduct a debate-style hour with one candidate for clerk of criminal district court, and that is Darren Lombard. Good morning, sir.
Thank you for having me.
And Newell, this is a little unusual, but we will, because of the rules and regulations, conduct this as a debate, so much like we did with our first city council debate, and as we will do with next hour, our second city council debate. We will follow the format that we will give the clerk of court, Darren Lombard, an opportunity to make an opening statement. We will then ask you a series of questions. Well, you have up to 2 minutes to answer those questions. We will follow up with anything we feel necessary after your answer, and then you'll make a closing statement when it's over. We would all also offer you, and you can still do it if you want, the opportunity to ask your competitor a question. Clearly, it will go unanswered, but if that's something you want to do, we'll give you that opportunity. So let's go ahead and give you opportunity to make a two-minute opening statement. Tell us whatever it is you want voters to know.
Well, first of all, my name is Darren Lombard, and I'm the clerk of court and the chief elections officer for the parish of Orleans. I was born and raised in Algiers. I come from a significant line of civil rights advocates and voting rights advocates, one of which is Dr. Rudy Lombard and former Judge Edwin Lombard. So it's I come from a line of folks who really believed in this process. I graduated from O'Perry Walker High School. I later graduated. I got my undergrad from University of New Orleans. I also have a certification from Pepperdine in public leadership, which I was very proud of just recently getting that about a year ago. Certified by the Clerks Association of Louisiana. And I have nearly 20 years of experience with the clerk's office. I started back in 2006, immediately after Katrina, which was initially what I thought was the worst time to possibly start that job, but turned out to be a blessing because it doesn't get any worse than that. So I learned a ton during that time frame. I learned that on being on that side of the election process was a very exciting thing. Unlike what I used to think, which was that it was a simple process and it didn't take much and it wasn't that involved. But I learned hands on that it's a very delicate and involved process. So that's pretty much it.
Darren, if you would, I have, having worked in the criminal justice system for a long time, a 40-year career there, I understand the intricacies of the clerk's office, the importance of the clerk's office to the system. You're kind of the quarterback managing the system on many from many different fronts. Your opponent talks a lot about several things in his life that obviously it's a success story. People feel good about it. He's rehabilitated himself. I never did believe the word exoneration was the appropriate word. In fact, as a lawyer, I know it to not be. I also know that because of the intricacies of the system, it takes a lot of experience and management and things of that nature. What do you think is the thing that sets you apart from your opponent more than anything else?
Leadership, transparency, experience, especially the experience. I mean, it took me 20 years to get where I am, basically. I started out in the elections department at the Clerk of Criminal District Court's office, which is very important. And that's one of the main jobs of the office. But with things, especially that transpired recently, transparency and things of that nature, with all of the stuff that goes on in political offices and stuff like that, I think the public deserves it, some level of integrity. So, you know, with recent events, I immediately contacted the media to make the public aware of what happened. And I think that that's very important, and it speaks to your character as a candidate and an office holder. You be responsible to the people who elect you to do a certain job.
Since you brought it up, let's go there next. You talked about recent events.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a number of reports recently and a number of questions raised about the effective storage of crucial documents that are under the purview of the city of New Orleans and under the custodial care of the clerk's office that ended up in a landfill, that ended up in other places, that were being stored in questionable circumstances, that were then disposed of with apparently no level of consideration or chain of command. Tell us about that incident, and how does that happen, and how do you make sure it doesn't happen again? The documents that are historically significant, that are required by law to be preserved, mm-hmm. end up in a landfill, in a parking lot, in a garbage can, or wherever.
So I was sitting in a meeting, and immediately when I walked out of the meeting, I noticed the staff was in a bit of a tizzy, and they were trying to tell me what happened. And what basically came about was that the initial word was that there were files all over the place in this area of public works, their property. So I immediately called the staff together and got about eight to 10 other members to come with me over to that location where we found a number of files strewn all over this parking lot, which I couldn't believe had happened. And when we questioned the city workers, they said that they were directed to do that. And of course I jumped, I was so pissed off at the time. I immediately addressed them with who was responsible. And everyone pointed back to a guy named Rick Hathaway. And I tried to figure out where he was all while I was directing the staff to collect all this information and all these files that was thrown into this parking lot. It's literally a pile. And that was out of one of the containers. So as we were doing that, I was thinking how I need to talk to the person responsible for it, number one, and find out what else happened. Number two, to alert the public as to what happened. You know, the mayor's office, the CAO's office. I spoke with Gilbert Montagne initially, and then he put me in contact or referred me over to the current CAO, and I didn't get any information, didn't get any feedback, all while I was standing there trying to figure out what happened to the rest of those files. So immediately after that, the city workers directed me to a landfill. And I was like, which landfill? We got to get over there. We got to figure it out. I need somebody to come with me to direct me to where in the yard they were. And they kind of blew me off initially. They were like, well, don't worry about it, man. They're gone. You know, you're not going to find anything. I was like, no, we're going to go over there and find it. So by the time I got in touch with the landfill, which we had to get special permissions to go in, and I talked to the CAO, we finally got there. with some of their staff, and they found one box. And I said immediately, I said, that's got to be the area where it's probably at. And they used the, what they call the earth mover to help move some of that garbage around that allowed us to be able to see and retrieve what we could, which I believe to be a significant amount of what was dumped there. But it just astonished me as to why or how something like this could happen after years of communication with these individuals, and they all knew. And as a matter of fact, Rick Hathaway, if you remember, had made a comment about it in a press conference some months earlier because he was trying to move his workers from another location into the area where these trailers were. So I guess in his haste, he didn't think about the documents or didn't care about them or whatever the case may be, and just had his team remove them.
All right, so that's the background. But mm-hmm. So how do we prevent this from happening in the future? Let's start with that. I have a couple of follow-up questions, but how do we prevent this from happening ever again, that legally required documents maintained by the clerk's office don't end up in a public works parking lot, in a landfill, or anywhere else they don't belong, that they remain in your custodial care?
In the very short term, it's communication with those agencies. I think through the processes we've been going through and the conversations we've been having, I think everybody understands the importance of everything that's involved in this. So I don't think it'll happen again from that standpoint. The other area in the short term is to get another storage area where we are segregated by ourselves. We're working on that as we speak. The other thing in the long term is that we have this new case management system. We're going to be putting all that information into that case management system, where at some point we will, through the permission of the judges and the Secretary of State, will allow us to remove the or dispose of the original hard copies, and we will have the copies of the files scanned into the case management system. That way everyone will be able to see it anytime.
So they'll be digitally maintained rather than physical boxes of documents.
Yes, yes. And that would help save the city a lot of money as well once we get into that.
What were these files, and why was the Public Works Department of the City of New Orleans responsible for keeping files that belong to the criminal justice system and are maintained by the clerk of court's office?
So in any situation like this, you will always be limited in your space. You're always bringing in... We have nearly upwards of a million cases that we are responsible for. So these cases take up a lot of space. So during Katrina, there was an issue with a storage location then. So this goes all the way back to Katrina. So the city entered into a agreement with the clerk's office then that they would hold and house these files. They held up their end of the deal for the most part up until 2 weeks after qualifying. When this incident happened, where they agreed that they would store the files for us until they found us a warehouse of our own. So that was the agreement. And we had been working with them back and forth for years. That was one of the first things I identified when we came into office, was that this was a problem. I didn't like the location. I didn't like the fact that it wasn't the cleanest place and the best place to house documentation. So we had been working pretty much feverishly, especially over the last 8 months, because NOPD has the same issue. So we both had those issues, and the CAO's office was working with us to get our own location.
And these are criminal court filings. These are records of criminal trials other cases.
Mm-hmm.
Newell, any follow-up questions about this issue?
Well, I think part of the problem with the clerk's office and the funding is that, first off, a lot of what you can and cannot do with these documents, you need to get the approval of the judges and other agencies. You're not in complete control.
Correct.
The city finances the clerk's office.
Absolutely.
So they are in a position to dictate a lot of what's going to happen with that office. In the aftermath of Katrina, a lot of what they did was as a result of cost-saving measures, and also they didn't want additional PWs to be filed with FEMA because they wanted to control the PWs. That's
Absolutely.
My memory
that is correct.
Of a lot of this being involved in
and a PW is
public Well, I used to know this off the top of my head. It's the form that
the city has to file with the federal government.
It's the form that you file with FEMA. It's,
okay.
I forgot what it's an acronym for.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality was is that the city wanted to control all of these requests of FEMA. And the only reason I know that is I sat on this criminal justice committee in the aftermath of Katrina, and a lot of this came up during that period of time, is how they were going to stand up all of these city agencies, because there was some concern about some of these documents being destroyed. I think most of the documents, correct me if I'm wrong, they were saved.
Most of them were. Yeah. I think upwards of probably 60-75%,
yeah,
I believe, was saved, which is going to be another bit of a headache that the city is going to have to deal with in the midst of all of this we're going through right now, is that it's an expensive proposition to restore files and documents. So, and we were already in talks with two companies about that, and It was a little, because some of those exact files were damaged by Katrina, so there was a property that was initially used by the clerk's office that was sold by the owner, which forced us to have to go onto Public Works property. So that was the
property in Mid City, if my memory serves.
It's right off of Poitras, right? It's on Poitras, yeah, but it's like right around the Superdome area. Yeah.
But bottom line, your goal is to get your own storage facility,
correct,
in the interim, and then eventually transfer all of these pieces of paper to digital, so that you no longer need warehousing.
Now, in all fairness to my predecessor, he had started that digitizing process, but it's not on a platform where the public can see it.
It stands for Project Work Order, PW.
Gotcha.
So I can always count on my listening audience to set
correct
me straight.
Not PWO, PW. That's the federal government for you. All right. We are conducting a debate of sorts with Darren Lombard here on WWL, the clerk of Criminal District Court. Calvin Duncan, his competitor in the runoff, has chosen not to join us. We'll get back to Newell's questions after this on WW.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Pretty well. Next hour, we'll be talking with both candidates in the runoff for City Council District E. This hour, only one of the candidates chose to join us in our debate for the Clerk of Criminal District Court in New Orleans. Calvin Duncan declined our invitation. Darren Lombard is here with us. Newell, your next question for Darren Lombard.
Darren, your opponent, Calvin Duncan, says that he requested of the office before you were actually the clerk for documents relative to his case repeatedly over and over and over again and was denied. Have you been able to validate whether or not that actually occurred or not?
Absolutely not. Routinely what we do is, and it's always been done to my knowledge, is that when we get a request from an incarcerated person, we immediately take copies of whatever it is they're requesting and send it back to them. Now, he may have had some issues with getting, say, a transcript. Unless it's in the record, we're not responsible for it. That comes from the judge's staff, the court reporter.
So the court reporter is not required to give a transcript of the proceedings to the clerk's office unless it's actually
introduced into the record. Yes.
And then you take possession.
And then we take possession of that. And then we, in those cases, we send it right back. So, for instance, we got a request from a guy who was at Angola. He wanted copies of records and some transcripts. And he sent an example, which was actually what he was asking for. So we just copied the entire record and sent it back to him. And the other thing that happens in these cases is that sometimes it may be the facility themselves that are holding the record. So we get records sent back to us from facilities, and then we have to send it back to them, certified mail, to make sure they got it. And then at that point, it looks like they are going on to pass it on to whoever's requesting it. But these things are always done the same way. I mean, that's what we do. We're responsible for the records. We keep the records. And a lot of people come through and want copies. Attorneys, judges sometimes want copies as well. So anyone who asks for a record that is not sealed, we automatically send it to them.
So in this particular case with Calvin Duncan, did he plead guilty? Is that what the records reveal?
Yes, he pled guilty to manslaughter and attempted armed robbery.
So the records reveal an actual plea of guilty?
Yes.
So there wouldn't be any extensive transcript in a proceeding where there's a guilty plea entered?
Well, it's so I can't get too much into the details because he's already revealed it. But he's gone back and expunged some of those records. So I have to be very careful about what I say as far as his record is concerned.
Many people may not understand everything that the Clerk of Criminal District Court is responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us the breadth and depth of the responsibilities of this office for voters and listeners who may not have a full understanding of all of the different responsibilities this office has?
So we're not only the keeper of the record. We have to make sure those records are in court on time and everyone who's requesting information about those records get that information. But we also are responsible for the other big part of it, which is elections. Elections, you know, affects all other rights. I mean, without the ability to choose your leaders, it limits your ability to maintain your rights in other areas. So part of what we do is qualifications. We handle everyone that comes into the parish that's not a multi-parish race. They qualify in the clerk's office. We also handle the polling place locations. We have to make sure that within a certain time frame before qualification that we have the polling places in place. That's a process we go through with the city. So you have to have those relationships with the city council and the mayor's office. The other thing is the security of the machines. We're responsible for that. We have to make sure that those machines are secured even when they're not being used. And we have to make sure they're secured on their way to and from the polling locations. And we have to make sure that the people who are working the polling locations understand that those the materials that they get and they hold for the poll workers the next day, we have to train them as to how to handle that. The other thing is the documentation for verification of people who are voting, registered voters. We have to make sure all of that is in place for election day when you go in to vote and you sign your documentation, you sign the book, the poll book. All of that is provided through us from the voter registrar's office, so who we also work really close with. We also have to deal with tabulation. Election night, all of that information and those documents come back to us and are sent to their prospective stakeholders. And then we have to do the tabulations for each total in each race. That's another extensive, very important process. And then beyond that, we have to also transmit that to the Secretary of State's office. So it's a very extensive process. And then at the end of all of this, we certify the election. The other thing that my opponent has no experience in is managing all of these various agencies and their relationships to us and their staffs. So we go from the day-to-day operations of having 85 or so employees to ramping that up to nearly 2,000 employees or people who are working within the election process. That's a lot of moving parts. My opponent has no experience in that. And as a matter of fact, he has admitted on several occasions and in the forums that he has no idea. All he would say is that I would ask around. So, and to me, that's on the job training and kind of irresponsible. And he, on one occasion, he even went as far as to say that he would ask me to train him. So I find this kind of overly simplistic view of his to look at the office that way.
On election nights, regardless of whether it's a presidential election, a state election, a local election, we frequently see that New Orleans is, if not the last, always amongst the last of the parishes to report election results. Even larger parishes like neighboring Jefferson Parish, where there are far more voters who generally participate, get election results in much more quickly. Why does it take so long for Orleans compared to other parishes throughout the state to tabulate and report election results on election nights?
Well, our issue is that we have most of our commissioners are much older people. They have transportation challenges, let's say, getting back to the office. And beyond that, we have probably the most precincts in the state. So just by that, those sheer numbers, that puts us in the lower end of returns as far as, you know, who's last and all that stuff. So that's the challenge for us. And as we move forward, we will probably always, unless there's some sort of way in a very distant future to digitally transport that information right from the site, we will always be, you know, one of the last parishes to submit the results.
So even though there may be a lower number of voters than some other parishes, the number of precincts
absolutely
is higher than...
We were as high as 440 precincts at one time. When I first started, it was right around the 400 range. Now we're down to 349. So, and then the...
Population loss.
Yeah. Population loss. And, you know, you got to think about it. We pull information from 740 machines. That's a lot. So we figured out, you know, I encouraged I was ringing in my predecessor's ear all the time about tabulating from the West Bank, because the West Bank was always last at one point. The Ninth Ward was always last at previous to that. So we got remote tabulations from two other locations. So that helps us speed up the process, because if you remember, it used to take a lot longer. Now we are around the 10 o'clock, 10:30 range when we're wrapping it up. So that helps a lot. But, you know, in the overall scheme of things, I mean, you're dealing with some parishes that have 30 precincts compared to 340. So, yeah. So and on top of that, I'm excited about this. In that election process, we have two new things I'm very excited about.
Okay,
and I don't know
your time is up for that question, so we'll let you address that when you have the open time coming up. Newell, your next question.
In light of fiscal issues that the city's facing, and because there's not a lot of – what's the percentage of your budget that's self-generated through fees?
Very little.
So
very little.
Greater than 90% of your budget is provided for by the city of New Orleans.
Correct.
Your concerns are that you find yourself in, obviously, you probably will get cut here if they haven't already notified you of same. So, what impact will that have on the operations of the office?
I'm extremely concerned when it comes to that, because during the pandemic, they had to furlough some people, and this is going to hurt a lot of folks, not to mention it's going to affect the services that we provide to the court. So I'm concerned about that. I just spoke with one of my attorneys a few days ago, and he said that my predecessor had had a law passed that the city has to provide the budget to fund the office. How does that relate as far as what may be cut out of the office? We don't know yet. We're about to go in front of the city council, I think, this week to have those conversations. But I think it's going. I'm concerned going into, especially with the city having a $160 million shortfall. I'm extremely concerned about that.
What role will the judges play, one way or the other, in support of that budget? Because, I mean, if you're not able to provide the services that you're providing now, how do you get throughput in the criminal court system?
So we've had preliminary discussions on the surface. We're going to have have a meeting very soon, because we go to the judges in the court, the clerk's office are separate.
Yeah, I understand.
So, you know, it's gonna take some work and some conversations to see how this is going to play out. We're all concerned because this could affect how cases are adjudicated. And we don't want to get in a situation where they're backed up further than what they are currently. So we're all concerned about this.
Are there models out there where there are court fees that then go to fund your office that have worked elsewhere? Or is you pretty much you have to rely on the budget from the city council, and that we know will clearly be diminished by 30% or more?
So we are unlike any other jurisdiction, a criminal jurisdiction in the state. Most others are driven and funded by the monies that they generate from their civil side and their traffic side. We are completely the opposite. We're totally separate. We don't have any tools that allow us to generate funding outside of some small fees here and there. And when we go to the case management system, part of the arrangement that I have with the city is that I would charge for copies to help maintain the system. Because that population, those who are filing cases and things of that nature in the criminal court, they're the least ones that can afford anything. So on the civil side,
the vast majority are probably indigent.
Indigent,
right?
by so far. And that's why we have, you know, expungement programs that are free.
And that's why there are new fees being generated. And
exactly.
There's really not any third party concerns or considerations of wanting to get copies of documents, unlike civil district court. Unlike traffic court,
correct. So it's going to be a tough situation.
We're talking with, in a debate style conversation, the clerk of criminal district court for the city of New Orleans, Darren Lombard. When we come back, we'll give him an opportunity to ask a question of his opponent, because that's part of our debate format. It will clearly go unanswered because Calvin Duncan has chosen not to join us. We'll also get last questions from myself and Newell Norman and give the candidate the opportunity to give a closing statement. Coming up here on
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
WL. And we set up this debate for clerk of criminal district court in New Orleans between Darren Lombard, the incumbent, and Calvin Duncan, his challenger in the runoff. Calvin Duncan chose not to join us. Newell, your next question for Darren Lombard in our debate.
One of the things I think a lot of folks are confused of, not unlike the criminal sheriff, you know, you don't really control how many cases come to you, right?
So there's absolutely.
there's arrest, there's screening, and when a DA files a bill of information or whatever charging document that they are going to file, that is transferred to you in the present today manually?
Yes, it is walked over by the DA's office.
So the whole system up until the time that this new enterprise system gets implemented is a manual system.
It's a manual situation. So they walk over their documents, the public defender's office, they walk over their documents. And then when we are doing things with the sheriff's office, we have to walk over documents over to them. So it's the entire situation is manual in nature. For the most part.
So y'all have embarked upon the implementation of this new system that's going to do what relative to what you just described?
It will create a great amount of efficiency. All of this stuff will be automated. So, for example, I was speaking to you a second ago, the DA's office, in the first step of it, we're going to offer e-filing through Clerk Connect, which is going to allow all these other agencies to send over their documentation electronically as they're doing it or as they're finishing it on their end. So the screen action forms will be coming straight from the DA's office immediately after they finish. They won't have to wait until.
So the evidence of the process being done is going to be the digital fingerprint.
Exactly.
Of when it was filed, this, that.
It'll be stamps of when exactly it was filed from the moment that they hit send on their end. It'll show in the system that was done. And that should create a great amount of efficiencies. And hopefully we can use the staff that is no longer or may not be utilized in the same way to help scan these documents in the older documents that we're trying to get in the system for everyone to see. We want to get that in there as soon as possible so we can repurpose those jobs if this budget issue doesn't cause any problems.
All right. At this time, Darren, we'd like to offer you the opportunity to ask a question of your opponent, Calvin Duncan, as we would if you were both here in this debate style discussion.
My question to Mrs. Duncan is that for an office that is so important, and for someone who is putting himself out there as a competent person who can handle the responsibilities, why aren't you here putting forth your platform and your ideas and a comparison to what I am offering, so we can offer the public a fair assessment of what they or who, what candidate they feel like can get the job done.
And that question will clearly go unanswered. We'll be back with Darren Lombard's closing statement and any follow-up questions we have for him after this, as we wrap up this debate in the Clerk of Criminal District Courts race. All right, we are wrapping up this hour of our debate-style discussion with, it was supposed to be both candidates for Clerk of Criminal District Court in New Orleans for the November 15th runoff, but Calvin Duncan chose not to join us. Darren Lombard is here. You have now 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Again, my name is Darren Lombard. I'm your Clerk of Criminal District Court and Chief Elections Officer. And I one other point I want to make real briefly is that we have some new things that are coming on the horizon for elections. We're going to be getting new machines within the next year. We're also going to be getting e-poll books, by the way, that will allow us at some point to be able to vote at any location, much like we do now with early voting. So I'm really excited about that. And I want to draw the point to the fact that this is not an on the job situation where you can learn as you go. You have to know what you're doing from the outset with these kind of situations, along with the possibility of we may have closed party primaries that are coming up. The staff has to be trained to handle that properly. So again, with over 20 years experience in elections, which is extremely important, I want to remind people that the voting process, the election process, is the first step of being able to maintain and get your other rights stored and handled in a way that is for the voters, for the general public. We want to make sure that our representatives do what we want and are representing us. And that's part of the process and it's extremely important. We don't want to be in a situation where we have a new person learning the job as we're being attacked with some of our voting rights situations. So that's where I want to draw the difference between us. Again, my name is Darren Lombard. I have come from a long family of people who believe in the rights of voters, of every voter. And we want to make sure we maintain that. My number on the ballot is number 8 for those who are voting. And election is November 15th.
And early voting will begin on Monday, the 1st of November.
No, Saturday.
Saturday, the 1st of November.
Saturday, November 1st.
Yes. Sunday, the day after Halloween.
Sunday, yes. It's closed and then open till the following Saturday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Darren Lombard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
And best of luck in the election. Newell,
appreciate
next
it.
Hour, you and I are going to talk to both candidates in the runoff for New Orleans City Council District E. This is the district that Oliver Thomas had been representing, and he ran for mayor and, as we know, did not get the mayor's office. So we will have a new city council person in District E, but it may be one from the past. So we'll have both of those candidates coming up next as we wrap up our debates.
Jason Hughes and Cindy Nguyen.
You're coming in next here on WWL, much like the same format we used for the first city council debate and the modified format that we used with just one candidate here. We will allow both those candidates to make opening statements when we return. We'll ask them a series of questions and follow-ups. We'll allow them to ask each other a question, and we will get their closing statements. So we look forward to that. Again, the election is coming up November 15th. There are only 3 races on the ballot for November 15th and nothing else on the ballot. And in fact, statewide, there's only one other parish having elections on November 15th, and that's St. Landry Parish.
There are some bond propositions, I think, on the ballot November 15th for the city of New Orleans as well.
Yes, and there are other elections for issues. Tangipahoa Parish,
yes.
For example, has a tax swap on the ballot. So we'll take a look at all those issues as we get closer to early voting starting. And we will keep an eye on that. We hope you have found this informative and informational and that you have gained some information about who you want to vote for through this discussion debate style and in the next hour in the Council District E runoff between Jason Hughes and Cindy Nguyen. I'm Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman and hope you're enjoying this wonderful weather that we're having. We have a little extra time, folks, because we only had one of the two candidates. Looking forward to this great weather this this coming up later this week.
Absolutely.
With this front coming through Tuesday into Wednesday. Highs only in the 60s.
And for the kids on Halloween night.
So. Yeah, Halloween night, we should be in the 50s on the North Shore, drop into the 40s. The high Halloween day, only 69 degrees. So finally, where Mother Nature has cooperated and is giving us.
Last year was a sweatbox.
You know, it always seems like Halloween, it's either 90 degrees or 50 degrees. Rarely is there anything in between. So you either need a big, bulky costume that keeps you warm or a very skimpy costume, not so much.
So we're talking about weather because we can't talk about LSU, not so much. The Saints, not so much. Tulane was off.
Yes.
And the Pelicans are 0-2.
Well, maybe they get their first win tonight.
That's where we stand.
Yes. You'll hear that game tonight on WWL 870 AM. We'll have Monday Night Football for you on 105.3 WWL FM. And you will hear tonight from Coach Kellen Moore from the New Orleans Saints about what happens at the future of the quarterback position and how they stop all these pre-snap penalties. That's coming up tonight on Sports Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.